We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN here at 919, and it is Pottawatomie County Day on In Focus. We're talking today with Pottawatomie County Commission Chair Dee McKee. We'll take your phone calls if you've got any questions, 785-537-1350. And, you know, last Friday, just a few days ago, in fact, I know Pottawatomie County phased out of its restrictions here from the COVID-19 pandemic. That was an interesting decision, given everything that's going on right now with neighboring Riley County seeing cases going up. Pottawatomie County stayed pretty flat for the most part. I mean, there have been increases, but nothing outrageous, and the hospitalizations have been pretty low as well.
Yes, we have been very fortunate. The discussion, well, our nurses gave recommendations. We put those recommendations, and as we exited, we made those recommendations still out there. We're going to put them, we invested in every newspaper that's in the county to inform them and update about what's going on, and we'll continue to watch what's happening. What people don't see is, and I'll give this kind of example, where we get a call and it says, you've gotten a major percentage increase. You're up like 50%. And we say, what's that? Well, we had two in the hospital and now we have another one, so we're up 50%. And those numbers are not necessarily in percentages. They look fearful. In reality, they are pretty conservative. And we walk through that, and we have a lot of people in our county who are out there working cattle, and they come into this co-op. They can't wear masks all the time. We limited by recommendation to 100 people and recommended masks and washing hands and decided to move ahead with letting people who need to shelter in place, take care of themselves. And out of respect for everybody, a lot of people are wearing masks. I've given away about 1,600 in both Manhattan and across this area that were donated by Champion, and one of my friends from China sent us about 600 and some NP or 95 N95. We've done what we can to make people understand it's important, but we're not going to be able to police them all the time anyway. So individual responsibility takes over.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens.
Well, yeah, and I totally get that. I understand the idea behind personal responsibility. I think a lot of folks question, though, after seeing you know what happened in Aggieville this past weekend, a lot of people, younger people especially, 18 to 24-year-olds going out and just not having a care in the world, not social distancing, not wearing masks, and then we see those cases go back up. I mean, personal responsibility can only go so far, it seems like.
That may be true, but we also have a lot of requests from businesses that they may be able to survive and have their chance, and they've made their rules at the door. You don't come in without wearing a mask. You don't, you know, depending on the business, and I think that control has more power than us just saying generally do it. I carry masks in my car. I'll give them away to anybody who wants to put one on. We have people who have made them and give them away at the same rate. After that, even if we do this with no vaccine, this could be going on for a year, and we don't have the hospitalizations and so on causing pressure. We'll see what we can do. That's it. I mean, that was a majority decision of the commission, and I know people, some of my friends are for it and some are against it, and I'm for my friends. It's just got to be able to manage and do the right thing for other people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it looks like we have a caller here, either with a question or a comment here, so let's get to the caller. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Good morning. Yes.
Good morning.
This is Steve from Westmoreland, and I'd like to ask Commissioner McKee. I read in the paper that they were discussing live streaming their meetings, and I just was curious as to when they might possibly implement that.
It hasn't been on the agenda recently because of the issues that have taken priority.
If I could get you to turn your radio down just a little bit.
Yeah, just a second here.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. Is that better?
Yeah, yeah, but don't hear the echo. Oh,
okay. Yes.
Did you get that answer, Steve?
Yeah, well, when do you think you could implement that?
I'm not opposed to it. I'm just not, it's not the priority at this moment.
Okay. And then, could you give us your thoughts on the MPO?
I know you sat through the meeting and would have heard those, but, my wish is, and maybe Brandon would ask a question about the MPO for clarification, and then I'll go into it because he also wanted to ask that question.
Yeah, we can go ahead and start that topic here. I mean, that was a discussion point yesterday, the Metropolitan Planning Organization. I don't think anything was, there was no action taken on that, it doesn't sound like, but obviously Pottawatomie County is a member of that organization. That's the Metropolitan Planning Organization around Manhattan. And there's some questions regarding Pott County's share of what you guys pay into that. And then, Dee, I know you've got some concerns about that.
Well, yeah, one of the current concerns was answered yesterday, and that is what is our total obligation, which is within the data they gave us. What has most been a concern is, as that MPO has developed, it reaches over to both Gary and Pottawatomie County, and I believe at the time that happened, it was a vote that would allow us to come in if we wanted to. Nevertheless, we've been in on it since before I was there, and I have served on that committee. My challenge is that their rules, and it's not local, their rules do not allow us to be able to put on major needs that we have identified in our side of the county, like specifically one of them is the expansion of the Blue River Crossing for the school district, the national NBAF organization for all the people that live here, the response to the military for the need to have their pilots and their workers be able to get to work, and they have given us $100,000 to do a first study, and we've applied for a second one. It's not like it hasn't been identified, but the MPO has not kept it on the list, and it was on there simply because of their regulations about we must have the money before we can put it on, and we can't get the money until we do the advanced preliminary engineering, which is a collaboration with Riley and the city of Manhattan in some way, which they've never come back and forth on. So our obligation because of being in that is, one, not getting our concerns on it. Number two is we received from the feds a Davis-Bacon declaration that on the processing of Highway 24 turn lanes at Green Valley, we must pay an increased Davis-Bacon cost equal to what Kansas City, Wichita, and urban MPOs pay. We made this agreement to do this road 2 years ago, and it's set in the budget, and suddenly the cost of the labor goes up in some cases, 200%. We asked Steve Altobello at Schilling and our engineer to point out that none of the cities in our county are bigger than 5,000, and we are paying for this process. We started out at 42% of the cost, and then we had to do condemnation for the state KDOT offices. And now we're going to have to do this increased Davis-Bacon because we have some federal money in it to the point of another probably $250,000. And what we're paying to be part of the MPO when they can't necessarily help or assist that but continue to make us be part of it is a consideration. I had one of the attorneys in KDOT tell me maybe we should try to get out of the MPO. That was the source of the question. And we've asked Stephanie Peterson to come and talk to us about what benefits we've gotten in terms of finance because of the MPO. I know they do safe walks to school, but it's probably that particular project that's federal in this program, and we may divide the question and just do the road without having any federal money in it, and we can be saving our taxpayers $250,000. It's that kind of thing that makes it so hard to participate because it's always after the fact, that the feds tell us, here's what else you should spend. And at the same time, not necessarily, yeah, probably MPO too, we're trying to do a bypass in Wamego that the county has put in $750,000 in. And last 2 weeks, we got a notice that they want to, the state of Kansas wants turn lanes on that, or they're not going to put up the truck signs. And it's just like they are coming from the top and saying, you guys pay for all of this. And by the way, we are still under a tax lid. And they don't have any pre-planning that would have let us know that. And they say, do it, or you can't have the truck signs. So they hold the signs over us for the password. It just, it's irritating to be at this level and try to maintain a good service with quality roads and infrastructure, safety and security, and constantly get blasted on the top. By the way, I did talk to Senator Moran's office and got the answer back. We can't get out of those Davis-Bacon increases. My question was, could we wait? Because we did this and planned it 2 years. Can you wait and let us do this project and then go up? And they said, and this is a quote from their person, we checked and we've given exemptions to other people in Kansas, and so they don't want to give another one, and so we don't want to do it for you. At this level, that kind of stuff really makes you stop and say, is this the best approach for the local taxpayers? So that's the conversation, and Stephanie will probably come talk to us, and we'll see what happens. But being overreached and forced into financial challenges without conversation is very distasteful.
Yep. All right. I can see that. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll continue our conversation with Dee McKee, Pottawatomie County Commission Chair, on In Focus. It continues after this.